So I lived in the Dominican Republic for probably about 9 years. And it's a tropical country in which the weather is pretty much just one season. It's hot. And then you go to summers, so it gets hotter. So you go from hot to hotter. Then living here in the Midwest, I encounter four seasons, and sometimes in the same day. But I got to appreciate what seasons are and what they bring to us. The difference in climate, there's things that I do in the summer that I can't do in the winter. The spring brings some flowers that we don't see in the other seasons. Fall has some foliages, some smells, some difference within that season itself. And winter in Wonderland only happens in winter. But similarly, the church has seasons. It has liturgical seasons. Currently, we are in the season of Lent. And the season is characterized by the color purple, incense, ashes, fasting, prayer, almsgiving, among other things. But Lent is also a walk through the desert. And in this walk, we are called to repent and to conversion. We are called to be more Christ-like, to allow His light to penetrate us and for the darkness to dissipate. So today, our elect start a series of three scrutinies. The scrutinies are for them to continue that journey of discipleship, the journey of allowing Christ's light to come within them and for the darkness to continue to be dissipated. It is a walk in this Lenten desert. And as they walk through this desert of Lent, so do we. The desert is a place of extremes, a place of dryness, a place in which we are tested. And this dryness and extreme heat brings thirst. If we go into our first reading today, in the book of Exodus, we find that the people of Israel were at Meribah and Massah. They were in the desert, and they were thirsty. They were grumbling. They were tired. They felt like they were dying, and they were crying out to God through Moses. They were thirsty. And at times it's pretty easy for me to look back and look at them and wonder and say, why were they always complaining? Didn't they realize that God was with them? Didn't they realize that God was doing miracles through them? And it's pretty easy for me to look at it 3,000 years later and say that. But the fact of the matter is that they were thirsty. There are many studies done that tell us that we could probably survive about 3 weeks without food, but we could only survive about 3 days without water. Thirst is a warning sign. It is our body telling us that we are getting dehydrated. It is a red flag. It tells us that something is happening, that we need to drink something or else. The people of Israel feared the or else. They were thirsty. They felt that they were going to die. So the Lord had Moses strike a rock, and water came out of it. Then we go into the gospel and we encounter that the great story of the Samaritan woman. And Jesus was thirsty, and he asked her for a drink. Jesus was thirsty for her anxiety, for her concerns, for her troubles. And he knew that she was thirsty, even though she did not recognize it. When he offered her living water, spring water, water that yields eternal life, she realized how thirsty she was. She was thirsty, but not for the water that would dissipate, not for the water that's temporary. She was thirsty for the water that will yield eternal life, the spring water, the water that only Jesus can give. Jesus became the rock from which water flows. But this water, unlike the water from the rock at Meribah and Massah, is the water that truly satisfies. So a question that I ponder on and a question that I'll bring up to you is, so what do you thirst for? What do I thirst for? Do you thirst for power, for food, for clothing, for money, prestige, pleasure? Do you thirst for love, recognition, security, freedom, peace, for health, contentment, for hope, for faith, for happiness? What do you thirst for? Like the people of Israel, we have physical thirst. We have physical needs. But like the Samaritan women, we also have spiritual needs. We have spiritual thirst. I believe that the challenge is that at times I let my physical thirst control me or dominate or take priority over my spiritual. And it could be said that because of that, I fail to realize that if I seek the heavenly kingdom first, everything else will be given to me. I might dare to say today that our catechumens, our elect, thirst for our Lord. They thirst for it because otherwise they wouldn't be here in scrutinies. They're seeking that water that never ends. They thirst for that spring of living water. They thirst for the water that yields eternal life. The water that flows from our Lord Jesus Christ. That water that flows in the water of baptism. The water that flows in the form of our sacraments. That water which is the Eucharist. At the cross, Jesus thirsted. And he thirsts for you and he thirsts for me. He gave his life so that we can drink from that eternal spring, which is the Eucharist. The water that gushed out of Jesus' side is the water that we now have in the sacraments. As we continue this Lenten journey, this Lenten season, let us walk through the desert. And as we walk through the desert, we might be thirsty. We might feel dehydrated. We might feel at times that we are going to faint. Are you willing to ask the Lord to give you that living water, to give you that spring water, to give you that eternal life? Let us approach his Eucharist and say, Lord, you are truly the Savior of the world. Give me living water that I may never thirst again. Mother Teresa has a very famous letter called I Thirst for You. And I'd like to share a short verse from that letter. And think of it as Jesus talking to you directly. And he says, come to me without delay, because when you give me your sins, you give me the joy of being your Savior. There's nothing I cannot forgive and heal, so come now and unburden your soul. No matter how far you have strayed without a destination, no matter how often you have forgotten me, no matter how many crosses you bear in this life, I want you to always remember one thing that will never change. I thirst for you, just you as you are.